Hello and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, the show from FLETSMR, where this year we've been investigating the big questions in market research and insight and how you can make a big difference in your team. Now, I'm thrilled for today's episode to be joined by Nicola Stevens, Head of Insight at Close Brothers, here to give her personal perspective on how researchers become decision consultants. Nicola, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Now, before we jump into our topic for today, would you mind, for our audience, giving a brief introduction to your background and journey through the market research industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll start by saying this was not my plan. My degree and my first few jobs were in marketing, actually, not insight and research. But I found over my first few roles and in my first couple of businesses that in order to do my job really well as a marketer, I needed to understand customers. And more time was I spending with the research team. Like, well, what are they interested in? And why is this campaign working? And all of those sorts of things. And I was really fortunate to be working in a fantastic organization at the time who had a good research team. And they were starting to transition from being pure research and into insights, which we'll probably talk a little bit more about in a moment. So one day I just got up from my seat, walked the two banks of desks across, sat down and went, so just tell me more about what your team does. Because I was obviously I'd heard and I'd been working with them and they were evolving. They were expanding. I took a role in that team, stayed there for a number of years. And then 6 years ago, I took the opportunity to move to Close Brothers to set up the insight team from complete scratch. I was a team of one. We're now a team of four. We brought insight into the motor finance business. And over the last 2 years, the team has also expanded to cover the premium finance business as well. So, yeah, it has been quite a journey. But, yeah, started in marketing, got really curious about what the researchers were doing and how that was going to help decisions and bring insight, because I was a customer of that. And then thought, oh, that's where I've got to be. That's what I've got to do. And here I am still today.
I love that story, because I think, you know, one of the first things you're taught as a marketer is that, you know, when you sit down at your desk, you stop being a customer anymore and you are, you know, you can't view things as a customer. You are a professional making decisions. And it's really easy to lose sight of how important that research function is in helping us understand who customers are, what they do, and how we make decisions. So I love that you started in marketing and then kind of saw the importance of research and insight. Yeah. And you've been on that journey of developing a team from scratch as well, which must have been really challenging.
Yeah, challenging and exciting. And in fact, I hadn't ever reflected on it, but as you're talking just now, one of my team, their background was in customer care. So they were in the contact center before they moved to us. So again, they know really what it's like dealing with customers. One of my other team, another member of my team has a finance background, very data literate person. But because they worked in different parts of the business as well, I think that brings something. We know what it's like to be the internal customer for this kind of thing as well. And I just think it really helps in terms of understanding your internal colleagues as your customers, as well as the external environment that you're trying to inform your business and your decision making about.
Absolutely. And it's great that you've got kind of that diverse range of backgrounds and skills in your team. I think that's really reflective of our industry in general. Absolutely. As you were talking, you know, it reminded me of that kind of old saying that no one plans to go into research, but the fact that we can draw on skills from such a kind of wide pool is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I guess I wanted to start today's show by asking you a little bit more about your recent webinar with Aura. Mm-hmm. And on this idea that you talked about building lots of small experiments into big improvements in customer experience. Could you share a little bit more about why these small scale experiments are important? And how turn them into kind of bigger impacts for the business?
And I think it's rooted in one of my favorite phrases, a bit of a mantra really, which is insight has most value when it's used. It's really decision making and very orientated in taking action, whether that be big or small. And quite often you find that the opportunities you uncover or the things that you find through a piece of primary research or through data analysis, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever method you're using, you're often finding an opportunity that was unexpected. Or we thought we'd find something out. We weren't quite sure how we want to do something with it, and we're not sure. And in those instances, and a lot of companies who are rarely short on ideas, you're finding something that you want to do something about, but actually people are already full. You know, the pipelines are already taken for. There's already a plan of work, and all of a sudden you've got this big shiny, oh, this exciting, this fantastic, valuable opportunity. And they're like, yeah, but we've got these things that we're doing already. That sounds great, but these are good as well. So the webinar I gave was around an example just like that, where we found something that was going to be beneficial for both customers and for the business commercially. There wasn't the capacity or the budget available to do what the best version would have been. So we started small scale and experimented. That gives you a little bit more permission to have a go, try different things. And once we'd done that and we proved the value, when you're about to turn that experiment off and go, well, we have to stop doing this now because it was in such a manual way, you know, you're able to actually get that delivered and rolled out to more customers, which we were in that particular instance. But once you've done that once or twice, then your colleagues start looking at, oh, well, we found this big opportunity, or there's something we know that's really big to fix. What's the smallest thing we can do? What's the little slice that we can take that's going to make things better? And just take one step along the journey and not being put off by not having the perfect budget or the right amount of people or long enough time to do anything. You might as well start small and try something. And what we did, and what I think is really important for insight leaders to do, is to keep track of these experiments and keep track of what's happening and build that story around, well, we tried A and it delivered this, and then we did B and it delivered that. So over the months, and in some cases years, you're showing where you have found something out. So it's insight driven. You've taken an experiment, you've proven the value, you've done something good for a customer or for the business. But you're basically doing the adding up in the background to say, when we add all these different things together, look where we were and look where we are now. And collectively, that's the impact of what we have been doing. And I think you have to have really good relationships with your other colleagues. I don't like calling them stakeholders because it makes them sound less human. Your other colleagues will tell you, oh, yeah, well, you know, this was the benefit here to our staff. We've seen calls go down by X amount. Whatever it might be, however you're measuring it, but if you build them up as a collective, so here's all the things that we've done and delivered through lots of smaller experiments, all of a sudden you can start to show that holistic benefit. But no one will do that for you. It's really important that once you've triggered the debate, you've got people excited, you've got them working on things, you have insight leaders and insight teams have to do the kind of the hard work behind the scenes to join it together to tell the internal story, just like you would with a piece of primary research or some data analysis.
I think that's fascinating, especially because at the moment we hear a lot again about this kind of ongoing, you know, over 10-year long debate now of insight at the top table and getting to the big strategic decisions. But what we're really talking about here is kind of almost grassroots relationship building, capacity building, and building those kind of proofs of value at kind of the very customer facing parts of the business. I think that's a really interesting approach. And from what I understand, it's also something that played a role in your recent win at the Aura Awards for the ROI Award. Can you tell us anything more about that project and what led to that award?
Yeah, so it's one that we were thrilled to win. Surprised we were up against some really incredible competition, something we're very, very proud of. And return on investment in that particular category was was about budget. So you on a smaller, in inverted commas, budget, how much value did you were you able to deliver to the business? And it was one where it was related to something that was quite easy to track in terms of pound value. But return on investment isn't just about the budget side of things. It's about the time and the energy of your team. So there are always more things that come up, be they big strategic questions or smaller tactical in the moment things, than an insight team can work on, regardless of how big your team is, how wide reaching, how much budget you've got. We're all people. We only have so much energy. We only have so much time on as well, and those sorts of things. And I think when we're balancing, do we support a bit what you were saying there? Do you support the strategic things? Do you support the tactical things? Apart from the fact that the answer is both, we should always be at the top table insight as well as building those relationships within the teams. It's about working out which are the things, the questions, the opportunities where insight, so information, data, research put into context and made sense of an insight, where's insight going to make the biggest difference to the decision that you're going to make? Because you can't do everything. So where do we put not just our budget, but where do we put our energy? What's going to give the best return on investment from the curiosity, the brain power, the legwork that your insight team puts in? Some decisions, some pricing decisions or process improvements, they just have to happen. You know, the business already knows the people on the front line, the people dealing with that, there might be a they know what to do. They know what to do to fix it. Just crack on, you know? But where there's something where we're not quite sure what to do or how would be the best way, or it is a very big strategic decision with quite meaningful consequences if it's if we get it wrong, that's where insight and insight teams should be focusing their efforts. Not just again, not just budget. But the energy side of things as well, because again, I'll say it again, insight has most value when it's used. You could use insight on every single decision in a business. The value and the amount you're going to contribute is going to be wildly different. So pick the elements which are going to have where insight can inform the decision in the most powerful way, and therefore it's worth spending time, money, or energy on would be me.
Such an interesting idea for kind of how you measure ROI, not just in budgets, which is how we're used to thinking about it, but in terms of energy and time spent, because especially in a small research team, or when you've got lots of kind of projects competing for your attention, it's really not just about which ones can you afford, but it's about that. How much energy can you afford to invest in each of these, and how much value is that energy going to return to you?
And the energy of your recipient, so your very senior stakeholder, your frontline colleagues who are going to receive this insight that you're going to be delivering, one or two things that really help them do what they're trying to do versus 23 things that they can't do anything with. You know, there is the energy and the return on investment from the people who are the doers of the idea, of the initiative, of the improvement. Once the insight has been uncovered. So there's how much can your audience, your internal audience, receive, process, get engaged in, and deliver on the other end of it. Some of it's about sequencing, but that's a another consideration.
On that point about kind of the energy of your recipients, I heard recently this interesting question posed at a panel at SMR Congress about how much time research teams should spend after the debrief helping colleagues, stakeholders implement what they found and kind of driving the action. What's your view on that?
Yeah, it this is This is a tough one. The and yeah, loads of people grapple with it. I've heard this a few times. It's like there isn't an answer, is the first answer. I think one of the things is when you look at like a time plan or a project plan, which are very stark and they're on a page, the debrief often looks like the end, particularly if you've engaged with an external agency partner or something like that. You've got all this stuff that happens within the Insight team, within your suppliers and all that kind of stuff. You get to the end and it goes like debrief. And it looks like that's the end of the project. So changing that thinking and building in like a landing zone, a landing time to, yes, do the debrief, but also do the follow-ups. It's apart from getting the brief right at the start, it's and making sure that you do your research properly. It's arguably the most important bit, but it's the easiest thing to undo. I can't think of a better word, because you are looking to move on to the next project. There's other things coming up. There's new questions that have arisen. And one of the things we like to think about is, or I think is a helpful frame, is your Insight team have lived and breathed this for weeks. Your stakeholders, your colleagues, briefed it up front, have had a few updates all the way through, but by the time to get to the end, their time elapsed on that project or on that particular business challenge and question is relatively small from a from an insight gathering angle. So when you deliver the debrief, this is going to be the last part of like a really long and by that point obvious journey to you of what it's saying, but to them it's really new. What you're saying might challenge what they thought they were going to hear, might contradict some plans that they already had. So there's a real kind of, and you might have people in there who are real reflectors, right? Who don't want or aren't in a position to make a decision in the debrief. So what's the follow-up session? One thing I do is we have the debrief. We already have scheduled in when we book the debrief a discussion session, or it's often called a decision session, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days later. Because you've let people percolate. They've slept on it, they've had to think about what they've heard. And then they're in the room and we can start talking about it and you can hear people and you get a very different, more matured debate because they've heard, they've thought, they've processed about what does it mean? What could we do? What are the ideas? And often from there, we will ask, so what needs to happen next? Would you like to run us to run an immersion with your team? Who else needs to hear this? Who else needs to be involved? We've got an example at them, and therefore that time frame, if I answer your original question of how long does it need to be, you know, quite some time. I've got there's a piece of work we've done just recently. We debriefed, I think it was the last week of August, beginning week of September. I have immersion sessions related to that booked in for something like the first week of December. I'm running a workshop on it next week because look, different teams need different outputs from it. But we wouldn't have known that right at the beginning. We wouldn't have known that at the debrief. So it's really important for teams to not see the debrief as the end and work on that post-decision implementation side of things, but also to be open-minded about what form it might take, because a lot of that will depend on the insights and the findings that come out, as well as the particular group of people that you are delivering to and the extra internal audiences that you realize, oh, we found out something extra over here and they should know about that for this other thing that's going on, and be able to take it through that way. Recognizing that decisions aren't going to be made in the debrief, certainly not all of them. It's where the process starts, but being able to invest in that latter section is really important.
And I suppose an important part of that is kind of bringing insight into the culture of a business so that it has that room to kind of live post debrief. It's not just an action that takes place because there is an insight department, but it's valued. There's kind of collaboration around the implementation. And that, I suppose, requires a lot of trust between your colleagues in different departments and the research team. What's your advice for insight teams who want to kind of build that level of trust and build insight into their company culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so trust is, I agree with you, trust is absolutely essential. And part of it is you just need to be able to do your job well, right? So it's essential for you to be able to do good quality research, strong data analysis. You have to do that bit right. But once you prove that you do that bit right, people don't have to worry about that. A lot of it is around honesty. So going back to what we spoke about a few moments ago, insight will not, or fresh insight work won't be useful or essential for every single business decision. Pick the ones where it's going to make most difference, and be honest where you don't need a new big piece. Here's what we did, you know, a couple of months ago, and help people use it in that kind of way. But in terms of building up that trust and that real sense of listening to insight and being curious about it, there is curiosity. Maybe I'll come to that in a moment. Because I think it's about tenacity and patience. So again, your insight teams will live and breathe this stuff. It's what they do every day, but it's a small part of other people's roles. So how can we make sure that we're continuing to talk about it, to share what we've learned, to demonstrate how things have been used elsewhere, and use our own curiosity that pretty much every insight professional has to generate curiosity within the teams. And that kind of starts to reinforce the trust, because if we go in to teams or we talk to them about what are their challenges, what do they already know, particularly true of frontline teams who speak to customers every day. So they know what some of those challenges are, being really curious about what do you already know? What have you learned? What would make a difference? What can we bring that's going to help you drive the decisions from higher up to make an improvement to this particular area? They then get more curious about, we've got this other thing over here. Could you help us? What else do you know? Is there any data? And you build up that trust over time. By firstly doing really good work and proving the value of what you do, but being curious about others makes them be curious about you and what you can do and deliver. And that's where patience and that tenacity comes in terms of being patient, that it will take time to land an insight, to communicate it, to drive the action. And then on the tenacity side of things, sometimes you have to just help out, right? You have to, it's beneficial for everyone if you go, well, what could we do that we could help? Is there anything else that we can do to change this particular process? You know, we can't physically change and do those processes as an insight team, but maybe we could facilitate a session with you and the developers. Maybe we could showcase what we've done with the process owners. Is there a small experiment that we could try? And I sound like a qual researcher, right? It comes back to asking a lot of questions, and that's essentially what you're doing in your business. But yeah, trust comes from being able to do the nuts and bolts stuff, being able to do the research well, strong data analysis, and translating that. Once you've done that and you've got that credibility, that curiosity back and forth, and being able to be patient, but keep raising the insights that you have been able to uncover and what they can do for the business.
I think the one thing you said there that really stuck out to me is about having that kind of two-way curiosity. You know, it's not our job just to be curious about customers and those outside of the business. We have to be curious and instill that curiosity and energy internally as well, and look both ways from our kind of vantage point as researchers.
Absolutely.
I think that will be my takeaway from today's episode, but there's a lot to choose from. So before we go today, What's the one thing you'd like our listeners to take away from today's episode?
One thing. So let's relate it back to the decision-making point. Okay, so in fact, you can't see, but I have a whiteboard right there. And on it is written, along with a host of other things, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. We need to ask the right questions. We need to pick which decisions that a business is going to make will be materially better in terms of what we do or how we do it because of the insight that we can generate. That, to me, guides all of the thinking. It directs your budget to the right pieces. It directs the energy of the team to the right pieces. And it keeps insight delivering the most impact, because you could choose to do it on a whole bunch of different things. It will make more difference to certain business challenges than others in what you do and how you do. So yeah, you can do anything, but you can't do everything.
Fantastic words of wisdom to end the show on. Nicola, thank you so much for joining me today. It really has been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I am honored to have been invited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, of course, to everybody listening as well. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode on how your research and data can have a big impact. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the Emirates Lab.